as Hong Kong weathers through such turbulent times, what does the future hold for Hong Kong? Is Hong Kong headed to the next golden era? We spoke to Simon Carledge, founder of Big Brains, on what lies ahead for Hong Kong. Hi, Simon. Thanks for joining the MChem podcast. In light of what has happened to Hong Kong in the past year, especially in the past couple of months, what is your assessment of Hong Kong as an international financial center as well as an international business center in the short term, for example, in a year or two, or in the medium to long term, meaning 3 to 5 years or maybe longer?
Yeah, I think I've lived in Hong Kong for 30 years now, and it's never been in such a volatile and unpredictable situation as we find ourselves in now. I mean, we just had, you said, we've had a year of protests, coronavirus, and now the national security law. Digesting these for Hong Kong, I think, is going to be a very, very tricky process. In the short term, perhaps the biggest problem will be short term through this year, through into 2021, will be navigating the impact of the coronavirus, which Hong Kong has been very successful with. There's only 1,200 or so cases and very few deaths. And that should be something that Hong Kong should be celebrating. Instead, I think it's going to be concentrating on what are the implications of this national security law, and what effect that will have on business. In particular, what would be the unanticipated consequences of a law that was drafted very quickly with almost zero consultation with Hong Kong, and already is having a major impact on Hong Kong's ties with the rest of the world. We saw, it was only yesterday, that various technology companies announced that they would temporarily, or not temporarily, at least not be handing over information to Hong Kong authorities. And we've also seen government and other governments talk about offering passports to Hong Kong people. Canada has said it will not extradite citizens to Hong Kong. And this is clearly a very volatile situation for a city which has, for many decades, claimed that basically it was a commercial city, not a political place, and people come here because they could trust its legal system, they could trust its political system, not to give any unanticipated jolts to business operations. This is going to make it quite problematic, I think, getting through the period. Beyond that, we can talk about that later. I think we just say that the next 6 to 9 months is going to be a very tricky period for Hong Kong, business-wise.
But will those international companies looking for alternative places to go, to leave Hong Kong in the future, maybe in a year or two, in the next couple of years, or are they going to stay put as Hong Kong is situated at the doorstep of China, and China is the second largest economy in the world? China has an attractive consumer market. And in fact, many of the American companies are putting down more investments in China because they're in China for the China strategy.
Well, I think the first thing here to say is that companies in Hong Kong, not just American ones, all foreign companies, must now be asking questions that they perhaps couldn't have imagined themselves being having to ask a year ago as a result of the events here. I think different companies in different sectors will be asking themselves different questions about location. Hong Kong is obviously a great place to run supply chains in and out of China, great place to organize the buying of goods from China to taking them to the rest of the world. And I think a lot of those companies will be looking at Hong Kong and saying, well, what we want is some kind of calm so that we can carry on doing our business, even against the bank.
Hong Kong is facing a triple whammy of COVID-19, social movement, as well as an escalated U.S.-China strategic competition. What is the future prospect of the Hong Kong economy? How can Hong Kong, as a super connector, navigate through such turbulent times?
I think the interesting thing here is how the Hong Kong economy has been changing, regardless of recent events over the last decade or so. Around about 15 years ago, when China joined the World Trade Organization, Hong Kong was very definitely a trade-based economy. I think trading and logistics accounted for about 30% of the economy. And finance was important. It was about 10, maybe 12% of the economy by then. And
the other great sector was the professional services, which provided support to both the trade and the finance sectors. And these were by far the three most important sectors of the economy. Since then, the trading side of the economy has drifted down in importance. It's now just over 20%, a fifth of the economy, just a little bit more. And the financial side has grown enormously from around about 10 or 12% to almost also about a fifth of the economy. In fact, may even have overtaken the trade and logistics in terms of overall importance. And I think that what that tells you is that as China's economy has grown, it's been able to take over more and more trade functions of its own, particularly sort of through its ports, transport, that kind of thing. But what it hasn't been able to do is handle international finance. Shanghai and Shenzhen have both grown in importance as domestic financial centres, but they're nowhere near close to being able to replace Hong Kong as an important financial centre where money can flow in and out of China to and from the rest of the world. Over the last year, through the protests, through coronavirus, and even through escalated Sino-US tensions, that the finance function has carried on working pretty well. It's allowed companies like Alibaba to come in and do their secondary listing and raise enormous amounts of money. JD.com just did it recently, another nearly 4 billion US dollars it raised. The finance side of the economy is working very well. Unfortunately, the other bits of the economy, I think, are struggling. The trade, the logistics side, still very important, declining in importance. The tourism industry, the other important component, according to the Hong Kong government, is obviously in enormous trouble, thanks to both the protests and the coronavirus. And I think the big question facing the Hong Kong government and Hong Kong as a society is how can it have a broader-based economy that will do more for more people.
So then what is your advice to policymakers in Hong Kong how to diversify its economy beyond its financial sector as well as real estate?
Yeah, this is a very tricky question with no easy answers. I think if we want to go back and look historically, we can see that shortly after the handover, Tong Chih-wah had this very ambitious plan to build about 85,000 new homes a year for 10 years. It was 850,000. It really was a visionary program. It was cancelled almost straight away because of the Asian financial crisis. The property prices fell. And unfortunately, that policy stayed in place and was sort of consolidated by Donald Chan to keep property prices high. And that has incentivized the financialization of the Hong Kong economy, made people prefer to put their money in things like assets rather than investing it in other sectors. As a result, we haven't seen any new industries emerge in Hong Kong over the last 20 years. We haven't even seen any major new companies. It's still the same old businesses that were dominating Hong Kong in the 1980s. Property developers and those their sort of associated conglomerates, and of course the two old British trading companies, Swire and Jardines. Nobody has risen and managed to establish a new company in Hong Kong. Why is that? I think the obvious reason is it's in the Basic Law. The Basic Law basically gave a huge amount of power to establish the vested interests, which they have used to maintain their position over the last 20 or so years.
Obviously, human capital is a key factor in economic development. Given the current environment and the high cost of living, Hong Kong becomes a less attractive place for both foreign talent as well as Hong Kongers, because many of them planning or have chosen to leave the city. How can Hong Kong retain its strength in financial services when there is a brain drain, or will more Chinese mainland talent fill the void?
I think we're seeing Hong Kong's society go through a very, likely to go through a very big change as a result of this national security law. I think a lot of people in Hong Kong, both foreigners who've come here to work and local people are asking what kind of society will emerge in the next year or so. Certainly, among both sections of society, there's clearly a lot of people have question marks over whether they want to remain here.
But will more Chinese come to Hong Kong to fill the void? Since we have the law in place, it seems it may feel safer for them, or as well as more stability in society in terms of social order.
Yeah, I think the way in which the financial sector in Hong Kong is developing will certainly encourage both people to move here from the mainland and also companies here to want to employ more staff from other parts of China. The focus of the financial sector, I think, will increasingly be to serving the international financial needs of Hong Kong companies. I think Hong Kong will be less of an international financial centre and much more of a sort of offshore Chinese financial centre, places where Chinese companies come here to raise money, where Hong Kong companies do things like sell wealth products into China. There's this talk about Wealth Connect, I think, which is looking at tapping into those kind of opportunities. The source of money flows in and out of China through the banking system, and that obviously will less international financial staff and more people with a Chinese mainland background.
So it becomes more like a Chinese international financial center.
I think that would be, you know, it's a fair enough description. There are many assumptions here about Hong Kong's development that other things being equal, the Sino-US ties. Not lead to any kind of financial sanctions, which I think could hurt Hong Kong, especially its financial industry, very seriously. But we're very much in the area of speculating on what might happen, given so many unknown factors, including a U.S.
Yes. There are many election. unknowns, and knowns unknowns.
Correct.
Let's talk a little bit about Hong Kong's role. Despite Hong Kong's relatively small size compared to other Chinese cities, it has outsized influence. For example, during the Cold War from 1949 to 1978, Hong Kong served as China's most important window to the outside world. China was dependent on Hong Kong to earn foreign currency, technology, and to gain information about the outside world. Hong Kong also played a very important role in China's reform and opening up, providing technical know-how, human resources to the mainland, and helping to build a sophisticated manufacturing supply chain network through infrastructure in the Pearl River Delta region. But Hong Kong's economic significance to China has faded since 1997. Back then, Hong Kong's economy was over 18% of that of China's. Today is merely 3%. Are Hong Kong's golden days behind us? And what kind of role can Hong Kong still play in the future?
I think you're completely right about Hong Kong playing a vital role in China's opening and reform from the late 70s onwards. I think without Hong Kong on the mainland's doorstep, it would not have been possible for it to develop, certainly at anything like the speed it has over the last 40 years. Having said that, the statistic which you mentioned about how big Hong Kong's GDP was as a share of China's, I think that's a bit misleading. It more reflects China's lack of development and how well China's developed since then, rather than the fact that Hong Kong has gone backwards. I mean, Hong Kong is still 3%, still quite important, considering only 7 million people live here. That role it's played in helping China developed manufacturing in South, in Guangdong, was vital. I think it still plays a vital role as a financial conduit. It's the only place where money flows in and out of China. So it's an enormous facilitator of Chinese trade and raising funds for Chinese companies that need international currencies. I think a huge share of the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, more than half, is now accounted for by mainland capitalized companies. That role will carry on. It's still an important place for the mainland economy. As to Hong Kong's golden days being over, Yes, unfortunately, I think so. I think I arrived in the right at the start of the 1990s, and the 1990s, especially in retrospect, were a glorious era for Hong Kong when they, in many different aspects, economically, not only was it growing very fast, but it was sharing that wealth across the entire population, from the poorest to the richest. Everybody saw their salaries, their wealth, whatever, grow by more than 5% a year for the 15 years before the up to 1997, and that spilled over into very many other areas. I remember that culturally it was a very exciting time to be in Hong Kong. There were a lot of festivals, a lot of shows, a lot of bands from around the world coming to Hong Kong. It was very exciting. Unfortunately, since 1997, mainly due initially to the Asian financial crisis, then to a series of other things, SARS, global financial crisis, the 2000s are a very tough time for Hong Kong. I think medium incomes barely rose at all from the late 90s to 2010, 2011, I think. Even though China was doing fantastically well, seeing its economy take off, Hong Kong's struggled. It's only since 2000, right, the early 2010s onwards that it's resumed its reasonable growth. And unfortunately, during that period, we've seen things like housing prices soar enormously. So although people have become richer in many ways, they don't feel like they've become richer because of the rise in the price of assets, particularly property, which has been out of the rich reach of much of the population.
As China's economy becomes more important, not just for the world, but also especially for Hong Kong, how can Hong Kong strike a balance of further integrating or interacting with economies in the Greater Bay Area while retaining its status as an international city, a melting pot where the East meets the West?
I think that question has to be divided into two. The first one is, can it retain its position as a place where international business can come and feel comfortable? And I think, as you've seen with the national security law, that has placed some big question marks over how comfortable companies will be coming here, bringing their staff here, bringing their families here. The national security law seems to be leading to a reworking of a lot of things in Hong Kong, education system, what people can say, even question marks over whether they will be able to access social media. I mean, that's going to have a big impact on companies and coming here, and whether the staff will be willing to come here. It's going to take a while for that to be worked out, and the outcome may not be positive. Greater Bay Area is it looks like a very exciting project, integrating economies of Hong Kong, in particular Macau, with the leading cities of Guangdong, Shenzhen, Guangzhou in particular. The problem is, I think, when you look at the detail, that these are very different places. It's quite hard to know actually how you would go about integrating them, whether Hong Kong should become more like the mainland, or the mainland should become more like Hong Kong. Things like freedom of information, the ability to move capital, even the ability of people to move backwards and forwards and work on both sides. We're not looking at something like the European Union here, and that doesn't seem to be the eventual goal, to have that kind of frictionless, borderless...
Ever closer union.
So that, if that's not on the cards, asking what things do you actually mean by integration, and I'm still not very clear on what that is. I noticed last week, or the week before, there was a survey of the Chinese Manufacturers Association talking to Hong Kong manufacturers still operating in Guangdong, and they were very unhappy. 80 or 90% of them had complaints about the ease of doing business in Guangdong, and there were hindrances put in place for cross-border business. It was not a very happy survey at all.
And finally, I want to get your crystal ball out. How do you feel about the future of Hong Kong beyond 2047?
I think it's very hard at the moment to think of the future of Hong Kong beyond 2020. There are so many changes taking place. Coronavirus will have an enormous impact. What happens to the protest movement? Now we've got the national security law and the impact of the national security law in particular. And as I mentioned just now, the unforeseen consequences of that national security law, I think will be very profound and will have a profound effect on Hong Kong and its role as a business center to many different companies, international companies in Hong Kong. And I think there will be some big question marks.
And on that note, we're going to wait and see what will happen. Thank you very much, Simon.